Hi, this is Mark Wade, writer of Daredevil, and you're listening to Longbox Heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 378 of Longbox Heroes. I'm Todd, joined with, as always, Joe. How are we doing today, Joe?
I'm feeling like Ray Milan when he was connected with Rosie Greer and the Thing with Two Heads.
Didn't he make cookies? Milan cookies?
I think you're thinking of Milano cookies.
No, that was the name of the ship in Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm.
I was actually playing the Marvel Lego 2 game where you get to pilot the Milano cookie ship. So,
it's fun. You gotta love a good cookie ship.
My kid got a plethora of games for his Switchy Poo from Santa.
I heard he got a powerful Nerf dart thrower.
I want to say to you, the listeners of this show who have children, there's various stages of Nerf guns. Battery powered, you might want to shy away from for a while. And even though it says ages 13 and up for those Nerf Rival ones, which are just hard plastic yellow bullets, let them get those when they're out of the house.
Oh, you got to learn how to be like the Matrix and dodge those, Joe. Oh.
When I'm sitting on the couch, I'm like, all right, buddy, don't shoot me in the face. Boop, and then I turn and I get shot in the neck. And I'm like, all right, you're done for today.
Oh, did you confiscate it?
I did.
And did you start shooting people with it yourself?
No.
Oh, you're not a monster.
No, I'm not. Listen, just because I look like a monster, sound and smell like a monster, doesn't mean I am a monster, Tom.
You smell delightful.
I do.
You smell like you sweat ham sometimes.
What? There's a joke that Patton Oswalt has about what patchouli smells like. Ugh. And while I do not use patchouli, his joke about what patchouli smells like is a good joke for what I smell like. Gosh, it cannot be repeated here.
All right.
But what can be repeated here is the news that we have to talk about today on the show. Hey!
Yes. This is what we have on the show today. A ton of books get the axe.
And the smasher?
What?
The demolition? Walk in disaster?
Pain and destruction?
It's their middle name?
Okay. That's got to be with that thing that I don't like to mention anymore.
Doctor Who. That's the lyrics to the Doctor Who song.
Yes, 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 it is. Why one of those books got the axe. Where a big creator might be going on a certain title. And another book, changing creators and how they mention it on Twitter. That's just crazy. We also have free digital books and sales. I don't know. Was there any con news this week?
No. 2 weekends in a row with no conventions.
That threw me off as I was going through the notes. What we read last week, which was Marvel 2-in-1, number one, and Batman 37. What we're looking forward to this week. And also Todd and Joe have issues. The last Todd and Joe have issues, which is Starman 27.
The last ever Todd and Joe have issues.
Oh, maybe we'll bring it back someday. But there's no TV talk this week.
Spoiler, should have saved that to the end of the show. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch any Punisher this week due to the holiday.
Well, what if somebody tuned in just to get Punisher talk and the opening, you know, the cold opening, and now they don't have to listen all the way to the end?
Right. Well, they've already downloaded it, so it counts for their numbers. Unless they're streaming it from their device, which, foo on you. I said MP3 player in front of my 26-year-old nephew over the weekend, and he laughed at me that I don't have an iPod.
Oh, what, you got a Zune?
No, I just have like a Sony MP3 player, like a Sony Walkman MP3 player. It's the kind I like. Leave me alone, world.
Hey, if you like something, it doesn't matter what other people think. If you have a personal problem with that, that's your thing, but I know what you're saying.
Right. I didn't get these because I'm like, oh, this is the hipster thing to do. I'm like, well, what was the cheapest one that works the best? And there was a bunch of cheap ones that don't work very well, and this was the cheapest that works the best.
See, the reason I don't listen to podcasts, Joe, is because they don't come out on vinyl, because we all know podcasts sound best on vinyl.
You got to hear all those hiss and pops.
That's right.
Right.
Which is just my heart blowing out. That's all it is.
Exactly. So as we were recording last week, we really didn't get a chance to delve into the March solicitations, but it turns out that Marvel is canceling a bunch of books. And when I say a bunch of books, it's like 10 books. Now, some of those books, they're not really being canceled. It's just kind of more or less, it's like, well, there's not going to be any more Defenders because it was a Brian Michael Bendis book and he's kind of wrapping it up. There's not going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy book anymore, but the same exact creative team is moving on to a different book with the same characters. So that's kind of just like the same book continuing with a different name, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them were more, direct of what's being canceled a little bit, a few more were a little bit more stealth, like She-Hulk, a few others that escape me right now, but books like, Iceman, Generation X, Gwenpool, Luke Cage, Hawkeye, and America are all being canceled. I think there was speculation that the Carol Danvers Captain Marvel book was being canceled as well, and the writer, I think who... I don't know the writer off the top of my head, but she came out and said, no, the book's not being canceled, we have big things planned, everybody calm down. Right. So... with a giant bunch of books all being canceled at once, got everyone in a dander, got everyone in an uproar about what's going on. Like, oh man, Marvel is targeting these books that have women in the leads, or minorities in the lead, or LGBTQ characters in the lead, or whatever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Or they're from creators of color, or creators of, you know, that are female, or what have you. So, as it turns out, Todd... there is no great conspiracy here, unless the conspiracy is these books sadly are not selling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of these books can kind of sort of be folded into other books. You know, Iceman and Generation X can be folded into some other X book that's out there. You know, Gwenpool, I'm sure, can be. Gwenpool is the only one that surprises me because it's such like a weird niche-y title. I'm surprised that that one got cut. And then there are other books... like Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur, Monsters Unleashed as well, that are still around and kicking and that have similar sales on these books. Now, the writer of the Luke Cage book came out and essentially just came out and bluntly said Luke Cage was canceled because it sold poorly, very poorly. There are various factors that contributed to these poor sales, but they all add up to the same conclusion. The book is being canceled. So... what are your thoughts on all these books getting the axe all at the same time?
My conspiracy theory for it is, other than they're not selling, is they're clearing the decks for certain other books to appear. Maybe they've recently reacquired some properties that they want to do more with, and these books aren't selling, and I think we're going to get some bigger named books down the line that that will sell with the same amount of apathy when to promote them. Like, if you don't promote Luke Cage, everybody's like, you didn't promote it, and it sold crappy. These books have a big name, and you don't have to, you know, support them or promote them, and they will sell more just on the name alone. And I think that's what they're doing. They're going to go, and they're going to try and get some bigger name characters. They tried, like, you know, B-team, C-team characters, and now they're like, it's not working, they're not selling. We're going to try some bigger names, bigger characters, bigger teams. And I'm one of those that, like, on the promotion, I hear a lot of people like, oh, you didn't promote this character or that character, or these small characters, but you'll promote, like, you know, your Civil Wars and your big crossovers. I don't even notice the big crossover ads. So I'm not even like sure, like, how little, like, these little ads are going to promote books. Do you even look at, like, when they promote other little books for stuff? Do you know what I mean, Joe?
Well, we've talked about this before, that they should, in your bigger selling books, like a Spider-Man or a Star Wars or something like that, throw an ad in there for something that's kind of launching, that might be in the fringes or a little bit new. Or remember a while back when Marvel was, you know, they would put an issue of something out, and they can give you the full issue of something else in the back at no extra cost, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they did that with Vision is the most notable thing, because I'm like, I don't know, Tom King is a writer. You know, I'm not, you know, super sold on whatever a Vision solo series would be, but they gave you the whole first issue for free when you bought an issue of Amazing Spider-Man one time. I read Amazing Spider-Man. If you give me a free comic book, I will read it. I read the first issue of Vision, and I loved it, and I bought the book.
Mm-hmm. But that's a little different because that's a little more expensive. You really have to believe
in the
product. You can only do that like you just said. Tom King is quickly becoming one of our all-time favorite writers. Mm-hmm. And I think you would have to do that. You would have to pick out of the 10 books that are getting the axe, you'd have to pick the one. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, it wasn't the Amazing Spider-Man wasn't the Amazing Spider-Man Vision combo wasn't the only one they did it with. They did it with a couple other books for that month. And obviously they tried it, and obviously it wasn't enough of a financial return that they kept doing it. But obviously there were cases, isolated perhaps with myself and others, I'm sure, that tried that Vision book and stuck with it. Now, granted, the other books that they may have had as the other book in the higher-selling book wasn't strong as the Vision book. Maybe they picked the wrong issue. There's 100 different things that they could have done. We've also talked about this before, where a company like Marvel, who does the digital codes with stuff, I just noticed that this month, we all remember the scandal when they stopped giving you the actual code for the actual book that you were buying, and they would give you a code for like three other older books or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they brought back, you know, whatever they call it, the actual code for the actual book that you're buying, they also gave you the first issue of something relatively new, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, the same month, but maybe 3 to 6 months prior, kind of where you would get on with the Marvel Unlimited series. Of, you know, if you're a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, where you get the stuff in about a 6 month delay, give or take.
Right, something that would be new enough where you wouldn't feel overwhelmed. You have to read 36 issues, but you might try it and go a couple issues.
Right. What's to say, on a low-selling book, that you're just like, we're going to decide as a test to see how this works, right? Let's just send out to anyone who's on our Marvel email list a digital code that's maybe like 2 or 3 months old for a number one of something that's kind of low-selling.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just send it out to everyone who's on the Marvel email list and see how many people redeem that. And then from there, how many people end up buying the books. Like, sending out a free digital code for a book that's already not selling, but you have an idea, you know, you, like, let's decide to get behind this for whatever reason. Those X amount of people that you sent that out to weren't going to buy the book already. Hopefully, it's a book that people feel strongly enough about that they've already purchased the book and they're not going to be upset that you're giving it away to people for free. But even on the flip side, say, and I'm trying to think of something that's relatively new that I just got into with Marvel. But let's just say it was Thor, right? Thor is a bad example, but let's just say it was Thor, okay? Mm-hmm. And they send us, the royal us, everyone who reads comic books on a Marvel list or follows Marvel on Twitter or whatever designation you decide. Everyone gets this code. It's a universal code that everyone who puts this code in gets the jumping on point for the new Thor story. Well, I already bought it. Well, that means I could maybe give that code to someone else who doesn't follow Marvel on Twitter, isn't signed up to the mailing list. I could actually go out and say, hey, friend, who I tell you to read Thor all the time, here's this code, go read it for free.
Mm-hmm.
That's technically a less of a loss than printing a double-sized book for the same print price. And I think that might have been something that Marvel could have tried, should have tried, might try in the future. Who knows? We're kind of off the track of things here, but I just want to mention that there are other ways that they could have tried to get these books out there. But at the end of the day, they didn't sell.
That is really what it comes down to. It's a business, Joe.
Right.
When did it become a business?
Someone who we've quoted on the show many times, one of our favorite creators, someone who's actually been a guest of the show before, Jimmy Palmiotti, tweeted out over, you know, about a week ago when all these came out. He said, simple fact, a comic that is selling a lot of copies will usually, keyword, not get canceled. Those that cost more to make than the profit they make will eventually have to stop. This is a business, folks. Now, a couple people might have had some unkind words to Jimmy about this, to which Jimmy responded, art is fun. We are talking about a specific form of commercial art here, not fine art or art for the enjoyment of it. Make all the art you like and have no worries, always.
Mm-hmm. He's got it 100% right.
And I agree with him 100%. If you take a job to do X, you know, we've talked about this before way, way back in the DC New 52 days, where Dan DiDio has his whiteboard of this character plus this artist plus this writer should equal this sales number.
Mm-hmm.
Once this property, this artist, this writer consistently reaches below this sales number, it's time to cancel that book.
Right.
And I'm sure there's an equation that all companies have of what's the absolute least amount of money that we can make on this book to keep it solvent. And
right, that
we joke all the time, when did comics become a business? The minute there was a price tag on the cover of a comic.
Exactly. As soon as somebody thought about selling them.
Right.
You know?
And exactly. I think even Joe Quesada was kind of trying to field a little bit of this over the weekend as well. You know, taking into consideration digital redeem codes, trade sales, Comixology sales, people who wait and read these books on the Marvel Unlimited, but then of course you get to the point, well, when a book doesn't get to full six issues, it only gets six issues, well, I never got a chance to even read it on Comics Marvel Unlimited, and that is becoming more and more of a way that people are consuming their media, especially for comic books. They're willing to take that hit of, I'll wait the 6 months, instead of having to pay X amount for X amount of issues, I'll pay my monthly fee, wait 6 months, and read as much or as little as I want.
Mm-hmm. And what I don't get is, especially like with Joe Quesada trying to like, you know, smooth the sailings, be the good, like Archie Goodwin was at DC back in the day, the goodwill ambassador of Marvel, you know what I mean? And just people lashing out at him. And it's like, well, what do these people want? Like, let the book, and I understand, like, canceling the book, you know, at three is, I get it, something like that. But it's, oh, well, we want this, we want more of that. We think, you know, you're hitting certain types of books that, you know, we don't have enough diversity out there. And I'm like, well, you know what? Take your money and make these comics, and if they're not selling, keep dumping your money into selling these comics. I don't know, like, what they want a company to do. I don't get it. And I see a lot of people saying, sir, promote it more, do this, do that. And that's kind of like where I was saying in the beginning, and it was totally, you know, the wrong, like, not well that I did it. It's like, now these books aren't selling. Maybe with certain creators and bigger titles, we could do the same amount of work, which was nothing, and make more sales. And as we always say, more sales is what businesses want. It's a simple equation.
Right. Now, in doing my show research and my show prep, I want to go back to the Jimmy Palmiotti tweet where he said that low sales is usually the reason a book gets canceled.
Mm-hmm.
And this ties me into a story from the 90s. There was a Justice Society miniseries that came out in the early 90s by writer Len Strazwisky.
Mm-hmm.
And the miniseries actually sold well enough that they were going to do a sequel to it. And the sequel got solicited, and that did well. Then they were going to do an ongoing series because the two miniseries did so well. Then the new series got canceled 10 issues in. Now, there was a lot of talk as to why the book got canceled. Was it because most of the characters that were in this book were going to get killed off in 0 hour, which was happening less than 6 months later?
Mm-hmm.
Was it low sales? It turns out that it was neither. Apparently, the editor at the time, Mike Carlin, didn't like having a book that was selling so well that featured old people. And that's why the book was canceled. Now, why did this book that was canceled some 24 years ago come up into my purview? Because, Todd, it was solicited to be collected in a trade.
Oh, God, look out. Here goes. Get on your soapbox, Joe.
The trade was supposed to come out in October. Mm-hmm. Then it was resolicited to come out in May. Now it has been canceled.
Old people get your book canceled every time.
Right. So that was, it was just one of my classic DC soliciting some sort of story from the 90s that has a specific fan base and then eventually canceling that trade. Now, why did that trade get canceled? Probably because not enough people ordered it.
All I remember about those Justice Society minis, and maybe the ongoing was 10 issues, but I remember getting them. And all I remember is being jacked for the fact that they were like, in one of these issues, the Golden Age Green Lantern has his first encounter with Guy Gardner. And I was like, oh, this is going to go well. Guy in like the Golden Age Green Lantern. Yep, it went about as well as you can imagine.
Right. So it was supposed to collect the two miniseries and the 10 issues of the ongoing, and again, it got canceled again.
It'll come out eventually. Kind of like your Rebels and your Manhunters.
My Rebels, my Manhunters, my Impulse.
Your Starmans.
No, Starman they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Didn't they finish the Rebels one? No, they never did they? Oh.
There's more. But those are the ones that I was actually actively collecting that they stopped.
Here's the thing. You have like one of those little notebook things with you at all times.
I do.
Every time you remember something that they didn't trade that ticked you off, write it down. I want the complete list of Joe trade paperbacks that he always wanted and now he's sad because he doesn't have.
Well, the ones that I always wanted are, it's a little bit more easy because that I could track back on the spreadsheet and everything else. But it's the other ones that we do stories about on the show that I'm like, oh, here's another one to add to the pile of my three or four that I have that personally affect me. Todd, I'm not sure if you've noticed, this show is specifically about things that directly affect you and I.
Well, that's what this show should be about.
Right, it's comics through our specific vision.
It's through the Todd and Joe gaze.
Right, we're going to sell the beer goggles version of whatever comics is to us.
Oh my God, that would be fantastic.
So speaking of comics and speaking of books having a change of, I guess, creative team on them, while we were at the shop this past week and we were discussing said cancellation of these books, one of our friends at the shop, Becky, had mentioned to us how the Dan Slott-written Amazing Spider-Man book is a bit divisive. And I enjoy Spider-Man. Spider-Man is my favorite character. I will pretty much read any Spider-Man book, and I enjoy the Dan Slott run. Now, granted, the current stuff isn't the strongest stuff, but I'd still give it like an 8.5 out of 10 of enjoyment. There are other people that don't feel that way. They feel that Peter Parker has gone away from his so-ons and so-forth, but I think a lot of people's reaction to the current Spider-Man book has less to do with what goes on in the book and more so to do with the writer's interactions with people online.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Slott can be a bit salty to people. He could take even less of a gentle ribbing than I can, it would seem, and it was pointed out to us by our friend Becky that he had not tweeted in almost a month, which is unheard of. Like, not even a retweet of a Marvel announcement or, you know, a positive thing about one of his books coming out or what have you.
Or a buddy or anything like that.
Right. Nothing. 1 month, dead silence from Dan Slott's Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Then, the next day, after we talk about it, he accidentally, wink, sends out a tweet that has since been deleted that essentially says, sorry, email's down, time sensitive. I think there's a site mentioning the Osborne Mephisto pack. Can we get you or Andrea on them to pull that? We need this fix now.
Oh boy.
Now. This is quite the
mistake. Total mistake. Accident, and now it's out there, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right. This is the Twitter equivalent of accidentally publicly sending out a nude photo or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this just happens to come out the same day that the Marvel solicitations come out for Dan Slott's next storyline in Amazing Spider-Man, where it says, Dan Slott has saved his most harrowing Spider-Man story for last. Osborn got his crazy back, which spoils what's going on in the current book, because he's not there yet, has a plan that'll make his past plans look like child's play. And who or what is the Red Goblin? Okay. So, this is Dan Slott, obviously, trying to stir up a little bit more talk that he's leaving the book. You know, the solicitation certainly makes it seem he's saved this one for last. There's been a lot of discussion that Dan Slott is possibly going to be leaving Amazing Spider-Man sometime in the near future. Hopefully whoever they choose to replace him is not as Twitter divisive as he was. I'm sure Marvel wouldn't make that mistake again, but who knows?
That's right. Probably be Nick Spencer. What? Was that what?
It is Nick Spencer, allegedly. Allegedly. Mm-hmm. Rumor and innuendo would have you believe it's Nick Spencer.
But I know how much of a Spider-Man fan you are.
Yes.
I'm less of a Spider-Man fan. I mean, the reason you're a Spider-Man fan is, you know, one is that he's Dan Slott, you know, still cruising on that superior Spider-Man cred, as I said. Two, he's got the third best rogues gallery in the history of comics. And, you know, you're just a big fan. But me, I'm looking forward to some change. I jumped off the Dan Slott Spider-Man train a long time ago. I'd like to come back. And there's something, like, I've talked about this with the shop a lot of times. There's something weird about, like, oh, well, you can try these little Spider-Man books, like the side books or ongoings. And I'm like, I don't know. There's something about the marquee character books being really good. And there's something different about getting those. It's just, I don't know if it's me as a comic fan. So, like, Batman has to be, that's the marquee book, even though Detective was first. And, you know, Spider-Man and not, you know, Spectacular or any of the other ones. But, so I'm hoping that I can enjoy Spider-Man down the line at some point. And if this is Dan Slott's last hurrah, I wish him well.
Right. Yeah, but I just think this is creative on Dan Slott's part.
You don't think he's actually going, or?
I don't think that tweet was really supposed to be a direct message, is all.
What?
I think that might have been a little phony.
Yeah, wait, how? Allegedly. You can't call a great creator a phony. I know. I get it. I think it's a little PR. I think he's been good at that since he, you know, was pushing the superior foes or superior Spider-Man.
Yeah.
That's like, you know, you want to get that out there any way you can to sell the book.
And I'm buying the book. And, you know, if it's a thing, there was also people speculating that, you know, and this, I think Dan Slott feeding into that speculation that they're going to do something with Mephisto and Green Goblin, that they're going to reset everything that Peter and Mary Jane are married.
Wait a minute. You're going to say that Marvel's going to go back to the stuff that they changed already? Wasn't there a company that just did that recently?
Well, you know, obviously this legacy numbering that Marvel just did a month or two ago was...
Or Rebirth.
Well, it was that. But there's, again, rumor and innuendo that this legacy renumbering is not really their going back to that. It's the precursor to them going back to that. Like, this is the 6-month ramp up or 6 to 8 month ramp up to them actually resetting everything back to the way that it was.
I can only imagine.
All we could do is sit back and wait and have things spoiled for us at whatever the next big con is, which I think is, what, Emerald City?
Probably.
Yeah. Last bit of news is, you know, obviously Brian Michael Bendis always in the news with his recent move to DC and with his recent illness that he's still battling, of course. You know, we hope he gets well. We talked before about Defenders, his book being canceled. We talked about them in the solicitations, saying that Jessica Jones is going to continue with a new creative team. And I think he just recently announced that the Punisher, he was going to do like a Punisher the End book. That was announced earlier this year, but that is now not even going to happen. Like, they never even started it. So with the way his schedule and his contract and everything else is working, that's not even going to happen.
Right.
And obviously there's been a lot of speculation as to what book he's going to be doing. And I guess the newest speculation is that he, Brian Michael Bendis, that is, Pronouns Pal, is going to be doing a Superman book with Ivan Hayes, formerly of Jeff Johns books like Green Lantern, Blackest Night, Aquaman, and so forth.
Right.
Now, the one thing I want to mention is when the news broke as to why Bendis is leaving Marvel for DC, he had said in an interview that he felt he had done all he could at Marvel, and he was at some sort of Superman museum.
In Cleveland.
In Cleveland, and was inspired by what he saw there, and knew that he had to go and work for DC.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about this before, of course, where's this going to fit in? Like, who has DC promised or not promised a book to, that if Bendis just comes in and says, yeah, yeah, I know you have this person promised X book, but I have a pitch on Brian Michael Bendis. Give me that book.
But like I said, we talked about this before. I feel that by the time, even when if he wasn't sick, these books have been going on for 30, some of them 30 some issues, you know, give or take, because they stagger them out, which I still think was a genius idea. So, like, the creators, if they give him Spider-Man, how many of issues were they on there? It's not like they were closing in on the end of their run and they were looking for new pitches or whatever. Because a lot of people, you know, they don't have 78 issues that they have to tell. Some do. So I don't feel like that it would be taking away from somebody, as it was reshuffling and freshening up, you know, the Febrezing the sheets, if you know what I mean. Like, and that's what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
It'll be interesting. I think it's going to be a while. You know, I mentioned Emerald City. That's kind of Bendis' home con, because it takes place in the Pacific Northwest, and I know that's where he currently resides. I wouldn't be surprised if his book gets announced there, even if it doesn't come out until whenever it is that he's feeling better. But I would say we're at least a good earliest 2 to 3 months away before we know what Bendis, any moves he's going to be making at DC are going to be. And anything we mention or talk about here is just speculation.
See, and I'm worried about him doing Spider-Man, Joe, because then he's going to be right. Yeah, he's going to be writing Lois Lane, too. And that's a strong female who investigated things. And I don't see him ever doing a character like that before.
Come on now.
Jessica Jones, that's right, that's right. I'm okay with him doing Superman.
All right. So, looking at the rest of our list, that's all the news. As mentioned, there is no conventions, and I say there's no conventions. Today, as you're listening to this, there's a Boxing Day convention in Ottawa, Canada. But, you know, it's not like a big name creator convention sort of thing. It's just a regular, you know, run-of-the-mill sort of thing, but it's in the middle of the week, it's in Canada, who could really make it there?
Mm-hmm.
No new digital sales from last week. Actually, no, there is one new one that got added to the list. Oni Press has thrown their name into the hat, if you will. All the companies that we mentioned last week, Marvel, DC, Boom, IDW, and Titan, all have sales still going on, and I think their sales are going on at least until the first week of the new year. So all of that is going to be in the show notes, as is a link to the soon-to-be-named network at soon-to-be-named-network.com, where you can find out all the shows in the soon-to-be-named network. I had someone actually say on a message board somewhere that we should change the name of soon-to-be-named network to something else. And I said, how much money you got? I'll change it to whatever you want.
That's right. Any sponsor wants to take over the network? You want to be Lincoln Financial Network for podcasts? We're fine with that.
Do you remember, and I'll get back on track, I promise, when Dana Carvey had like a sketch show on ABC in the late 90s?
There's like a documentary about it.
Okay. I haven't got a chance to watch the documentary about it. I'm sure it's fascinating, but.
Well, I'm just because it was when you look back at all the stars that were actually on the show, but go ahead.
Well, not only on the show, but on the writing staff.
That's what I meant, yes.
But every episode was a different sponsor. It was like the Mug Root Beer presents the Dana Carvey Comedy Hour. And then, mm-hmm. like, it was just like whatever sponsor they can get, that was the title of the show for that week.
Right.
Which was a fun, you know, thing that they did with the show back then. That show was not acceptable for primetime, you know, network TV. Not in the 90s. I don't think most of the stuff they did in that show would fly today. And it was just because Dana Carvey was that lovable church lady. And he was in those Wayne's World movies and whatever else it was that he was in. I think he'd not made Master of Disguise yet, so.
Which still has the greatest turtle comedy scene ever.
No. So all the shows, of course, in the soon-to-be named network, whether it be this show that you're listening to here, Longbox Heroes After Dark, Fresher in Parlance, Profane Argument, Puzzle Warriors 3, Paladins of Voltron, Aim Downside's podcast, and, you know, the other shows, of course, anytime any of the folks from those shows show up on other shows, those shows will end up on the site so you can keep track of all the people involved in the soon-to-be-named network. Of course, a special shout-out to Podvocacy. While they did not have an episode this week, many podcasts are taking the week off for the holidays, weeks off possibly for the holidays. Other podcasts I listen to are, like, quadrupling down on the content. So it's six of one, half a dozen the other. But I want to give Podvocacy a special shout-out this week, Todd.
Okay.
Okay. Todd, as you're aware, someone actually pointed this out to me a couple weeks ago, that if you listen to the Bruce Pritchard Something to Wrestle With podcast,
right,
it's essentially a Rosetta Stone for a lot of the dumb things that I say on the show.
Oh, you mean it's where you mine most of your gold?
Well, listen, when you steal, when you take one thing, Todd, it's stealing. When you take multiple things, it's research.
Gotcha.
Anyway, it's a playful homage. But from listening to the show so much, a lot of the stuff has come into my vocabulary and therefore has even come into your vocabulary, much to your own chagrin.
Hmm.
A lot of the sayings and slogans and things from the show, they make t-shirts out of, right? Because if there's one thing that Bruce and Conrad are not good at, it's making money. They're making money. They're doing well. So, when you buy a shirt, part of the, and I don't want to say scam, but part of the scheme that Bruce does, when you buy one of the shirts, he will call you.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for buying one of his shirts. And he said, during the holidays, of course, they would say, hey, if you're buying a shirt, or maybe you've bought like multiple shirts from us, put someone else who you know who's a fan of the show's phone number in the, what number do you want me to call, right? Now, at my super secret science job, you know, things kind of play fast and loose, but there's times where I actually have to do my job. And I always have my phone on me, mostly because I'm playing Marvel Puzzle Quest, but I always have my phone on me. Mostly it's just because if there's something going on with my son, my wife, whatever. So I'm actually doing work, and I see a number that comes up as restricted. And I'm like, oh, I'm in the middle of work. I'm sure it's nothing. And they leave a message. So I go and I check the message, and it's Bruce Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
He called me because David, Kincannon of Podvic, because he had purchased a shirt. And David wanted Bruce to call me instead of him. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like the coolest thing ever. I have a voicemail from Bruce Pritchard. If I actually got that call, I probably would have gotten fired from my job because I'd still be on the phone with Bruce as we're speaking. Because mm-hmm. I've got a few questions for him.
Right.
One is mostly about the Red Rooster and the watch.
Okay.
So I asked David, I'm like, oh my God, thank you so much. Da, 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 da. What shirt did you end up getting? He got me a shirt, Todd.
He got you a shirt?
He got me a shirt.
A smedium, right?
Oh, yeah. They sewed seven smediums together. But he got me the Pronouns Pal shirt.
I know that phrase.
Right, see? One of the most world-famous dumb phrases that I've lifted, researched, borrowed, homaged from the Pritchard Show. So thank you very much, David, for getting me that. And if anyone out there listening to the show wants to buy myself or Todd stuff, I'll spend like 5 minutes of the show putting you over.
That's right. Though, I'm a little disappointed in Kincannon.
Yeah?
In the comedy, really would have been if he, Pritchard, had gotten, sent me the phone call.
Oh!
Hello. This is, what's his first name?
Bruce.
This is Bruce Pritchard. Who?
Who dis?
This is the guy from, you know, Between the Sheets or whatever he does.
Oh, my God. Something to wrestle, but thank you for the plug for Between the Sheets.
Something to wrestle. I'd be like, why are you calling me? Well, someone bought a shirt. Was it my shirt? I think that – I'm just kidding. I'm glad, you know, you got your voice. I'm just saying that would have been funny, but I'm glad you got your voicemail from one of your heroes and there's shirts involved, and that's a really cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Just the message alone made my day, but getting the shirt was literal icing on the human mess that is my body, a.k.a. a cake.
That is true.
I was going somewhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
But where I was going with that was soon-to-be-named-network.com, soon-to-be-named-network.com.
Right.
Todd, let's get into the books that we read from this past week. Let's start with the book that we were both most looking forward to coming out this week, which is Marvel 2-in-1 Number 1 by Chip Zdarsky with art by Jim Chung.
Mm-hmm. Basically, this book starts out with Johnny Storm, a.k.a. the Human Torch, doing some questionable things while he's trying to he's in a NASCAR race and things go wrong, and then we just cut away from that, and then we cut to Benjamin Grimm, who's in his tuxedo. So I love when Ben Grimm's in his tuxedo. I call him the fancy gentle Ben when he's in the tuxedo.
Not the fancy gentle thing.
Not the gentle thing. Instead of gentlemen, the gentle Ben. But he's at a gala to give an award away that's, you know, in the honor of the science team, the Fantastic Four. And he starts, you know, thinking about Sue and how she's telling him at one point in the past to take care of, if anything happens, take care of Johnny. He's going to need you. And Spider-Man shows up to the thing and tells him that, you know, he's been acting weird, that thing with the race and other things that I've seen. And then here's where Todd is all in on the book. So Ben goes back to the Baxter building to look at stuff to see if there's anything that he can find to figure out what he's doing. And Doom shows up, and Doom has something that was for Ben if anything happened to Reed, but he took it and decided that it was, you know, he was going to take whatever it was as Doom, but gives it back to him because he's the nice Doom now, with some great classic Doom quotes. So Ben goes to find Johnny to try and hook up with him. Johnny wants nothing to do with Ben. And you kind of find out why. There's a whole, you know, he's sad that his sister's gone and Reed, they're no longer a team, and he reminds him of it. And we get a couple of revelations of why, Johnny's acting sporadic. So Ben's gonna try and, you know, help him out, and we get a revelation that maybe somebody who did something nice wasn't completely altruistic. But this book, this made me miss Fantastic Four, and I was getting so, like, misty as I was reading this, seeing Ben think about the past and miss Reed. And at one point, you know, he's giving the speech at the gala, and he says, this should be Stretcho, and then he's like, Reed. He's like, Reed. Cause like, it's just fun to see like little things that I miss from the book. And I am like completely all in on Marvel 2-in-1. And Jimmy Chung just crushes it on the art in this. I love the way Ben looks. Spider-Man shows up. He's fantastic. Even the infamous Iron Man Doom armor. I love, even though I want to see Chung do the classic Doom, because nobody like does as close to him as, except for a few people doing his Doom. I loved Marvel 2-in-1.
I did too. But I have a bunch of nitpicks about the book, and it's not like bad nitpicks. I really liked it.
Okay.
But because I liked it as much as I did, I think Marvel, unfortunately, and I understand why, did this book a disservice by not calling it Fantastic Four. Now, they've done as much as they can to make you think this is a Fantastic Four book by, you know, calling the book The Fate of the Four, using the Fantastic Four font, you know, having Marvel 2, the 2 in 1 and 2, be the Fantastic Four, you know, numbering, right? Having Human Torch and Thing together on the cover, you know, smashing what appears to be a giant number 4, right? They've done as much as they can to make you think this is a Fantastic Four book without calling it a Fantastic Four book, which makes me think that there might be people who might not pick it up. Just because I'm looking for a Fantastic Four book. This doesn't say Fantastic Four on it. I may not be the sharpest knife in the drawer. Call me when the Fantastic Four are back. Well, this is the book where they come back. Call me when they come back.
I'll give you that, but I think this book is going to be one of those that's going to get word of mouth very quickly. And if you're a Fantastic Four fan, I can't recommend this enough.
Right.
So hopefully that'll be enough. I do agree with you that the FF title would have pushed it further.
Yes.
But
I understand why they couldn't do it. Or why they chose not to do it.
And I think the Fate of the Four is going to happen faster than we think now.
Right now.
So, yeah.
I like the way that Chip Zdarsky wrote Donnie and Ben. It was the least Chip Zdarsky written of something, and I mean that in a compliment. Sometimes Zdarsky's writing can be a little bit too clever for its own good.
Mm-hmm.
Where he kind of just stuck to, now's not the time to experiment with the way these two characters' relationship is.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get these two people back together. We need to reestablish the connection between them. We need to reestablish the connection with the four of them. Once we do that, and you're still on the book, then you want to play a little faster and looser, by all means, go crazy. I thought Jim Chung's art was great, and I know you had it kind of tiptoed around a little bit. I'm going to be a little bit more blunt with it, in that it seems odd to me that Doom was acting more pre-Secret Wars Doom in this than he has been since Secret Wars.
So you think maybe it's not Doom?
Well, we've already had that one played on us before, where someone else was posing not as Doom, but as Reed. I don't think this is someone else posing as Doom. I think this is Doom acting like the Doom that Johnny and Ben are used to dealing with.
Even though Ben dealt with him all the time in Infamous Iron Man?
Dealt with him begrudgingly.
Right.
And I want to also give the writers and editors credit on this book. Don't take for granted that people have read Infamous Iron Man.
Fair enough.
Let's not take that for granted and say, oh, well, they read those 12 issues or whatever it was, so they already know what this relationship is. Nope. Let's assume they didn't read that Fantastic Four people are reading this maybe, and just like they, the readers, want that classic Doom Fantastic Four relationship, Doom being the smart one out of these three, know that he has to be old Doom to motivate these two.
Mm-hmm.
If he's white meat baby face, I'm trying to fix the world Doom, they're going to be like, ah, that Doom's up to something. But if Doom comes up and acts like the Doom they've known, they're like, we gotta stop Doom from whatever his plan is. Doom probably being smart enough to, like, I think Doom wants Reed and Sue back just as much as Johnny and Ben do.
That's what I think, too, because by the end of this book, I feel like it was him that is going to get the credit for putting Ben on the hunt, if you know what I mean?
Well, obviously, Doom's gonna take credit for it. It's going to be Ben and Johnny who do the legwork, essentially as puppets of Doom. I'm sure there'll be a part where Ben's like, ah, we knew you were messing with us, blah, 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 but, you know, we knew what you were trying to do, and we know you like Stretcho just as much as we do, and Doom's like, grr, and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like this book a lot. it makes me like the Fantastic Four more and want to read more Fantastic Four books. Put this book out more.
And I actually like the idea of putting the team back together. Like, we didn't get the team right out of the gate. I don't know. I want to see this adventure, and I'm so jacked for it as a Fantastic Four fan.
Because that's what the Fantastic Four is mostly about, adventuring.
Mm-hmm. And they did a great job of Ben did a great job of explaining what the Fantastic Four is in his speech. Mm-hmm. And I haven't read something like that in a while with this. So
one of the other books that we read from this past week was Batman number 37, written by Tom King with art by Clay Mann. Folks, I apologize, get used to it. If this book is this good, we have no choice but to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
The previous issue was the first of two parts examining Batman's relationship with Superman. More so, Selina and Bruce's relationship with Clark and Lois, where the next two issues are going to be Batman and Selina's relationship with Wonder Woman. You know, the big three at DC, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this time they go on a double date. They go to a carnival, I guess, which is having a superhero theme night. And hilarity ensues.
Ugh, I got goosebumps already, Joe.
All right, so go ahead. What did you think? Obviously, if you have goosebumps, you usually don't get goosebumps when you don't like something. So,
it was fantastic. It was once again the Batman and Superman. You know, like the way they act. I'm jumping all over the place. So to get into the carnival, it's a superhero themed thing that they have to, you know, cosplay. So they're like, we don't know what to do. So they end up swapping costumes. Batman swaps with Superman and Superman swaps with Batman. Then Lois puts on a Catwoman costume and Catwoman puts on Lois Lane's costume and goes as Catwoman without a costume, which is fantastic. But then they go around the park doing stuff, describing why would either couple be with each other. Batman is someone who hunts down criminals. Catwoman, occasionally, has been a criminal, Joe. Spoiler alert, I know you don't want to hear it. And then, you know, well, Catwoman's like, well, what are you doing with the Kansas farm boy? You know, like, you were born on a military base. You're this city reporter. Like, so looking at me and asking me why I'm with this guy, you know, look at yourself. And not in a mean way, they're having a great conversation. And just them doing the thing and all the little gags that are in this book. Like Catwoman having won, Batman won Catwoman a big prize somewhere along the way. You don't see it, but you just know it happened because Batman's going to beat those rigged games and just stuff like that. And by the time you get to the end, it's like the last issue of them, talking about, each other. It's more of that. And I felt like they were legitimately friends, and it felt good after all those years of New 52 of, you know, just being dark and gritty. And nothing happens in the way of superheroing other than a purse snatcher, and it's fantastic. And the whole baseball, hitting the baseball thing, that's a side, just read it. If you want to see Batman and Superman being manly, trying to figure out if Superman can throw a pitch past Batman, read this book. It's absolutely fantastic.
Right, if you've been looking for a jumping on point for this, get 36 and 37.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy with the way, as Todd mentioned, the relationship between Batman and Superman was in the DC film universe, if you long for a time where Batman and Superman are actually friendly with each other, then this is great. Also, I would have no problem if Tom King wanted to write a separate, like, you want to do it as a one-shot, you want to do it as a mini-series, you want to do it as a backup feature. Remember backup features, or second features, Todd?
Oh, don't call them backups.
Right.
Co-features.
The further adventures of Lois and Selina Kyle doing stuff.
Ugh.
Even if it's just they get together once a month to talk about what, like, and just go like, oh, man, you know, whatever. Something. Mm-hmm. I felt as though those parts of the book were just as strong as the Clark and Bruce parts. And as I mentioned before, I am a new convert to the relationship between Bruce and Selina. I did not like it at first. I've come around to it, which makes me even further know that it's not going to come to fruition. It was going to happen while I didn't like it, but now that I do like it, it's not going to happen.
And I also just want to say, because I keep forgetting to say, like, all the gags and stuff, seeing Clark walk around in Batman's outfit with the spectacles on is one of the greatest visuals in the history of comics. And also the fact that Batman Selina rode the Red Tornado ride at the fair is fantastic.
This is definitely a fun book. Cannot, you know, stress that enough. You know, we talk about it all the time because it's really good. I highly recommend it. Can't stress that enough.
36 and 37. Go out and get them. Do yourself a favor.
Right. All right. So that covers what we discussed from this past week. Let's get into what we're looking forward to this week. If you head over to longboxheroes.com every Tuesday around 5:30 Eastern Standard Time or so, you will find the poll post, which is a link to all the books that are coming out this week. Whether you get your books in print, whether you get them digitally, whether you get them sent to your home, however it is that you get your books, be forewarned and be forearmed of what's coming out so that you're prepared. Maybe you need an extra long box to bring all your stuff home like some people did last week. This guy. you know, some harsh decisions have been made going forward, of course, as this year, and we'll continue the next year. Todd and I are attempting to guess what the other is most looking forward to. This week, Todd has me beat by 5 correct guesses, unless somehow I get 5 correct guesses today to tie things up. Highly unlikely, brain. The other thing that we did this past year was tally the number of books that we purchased over the calendar year of 2017, which I did beat Todd in this time. Next year, we're going to go dollar amount to really make ourselves weep. Boo-hoo, boo-hoo. Mm-hmm. I beat you by almost 110 books.
That's right. You lapped me.
Yes. So you started the show, so you go first. What is the book I'm most looking forward to coming out this week?
Is it Clock of Doom number 2? Doomsday Clock?
It is the Legion of Doomsday Clock number 2. You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the book you're most looking forward to coming out this week as well.
Yes, I am.
Right. Really thought the first book was a strong setup. Very excited to see what sort of twists and turns and Easter eggs and all sorts of stuff like that they have prepared for us in issue 2. And I like that DC, of course, you know, not that it needs it, but again, you want to put a little bit of extra oomph behind something. They're doing a lot of extra promotion for this book, really hammering home. And I know if you're a print guy like Todd and I are, or print gal or print whomever, you know, don't want to stereotype there, that they already have the reprints of issue 1 in stores with issue 2 coming out today. So if you missed the first go around of issue 1, you got the second printing ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So while you're over at longboxheroes.com, be sure to check out everything else over there as well, whether it be links to past poll posts, links to past episodes of this show, past After Darks, past Todd and Joe Have Issues, as today will be the last one. Anything that we've ever done on the internet exists over at longboxheroes.com. Also existing over at longboxheroes.com is our little button for a store where you can purchase a shirt or a sticker that are both very reasonably priced of our fancy logo done by our good friend in DC Comics extraordinaire, the definitive Colonel Sanders artist for DC Comics, Tom Derenick. But again, if you do not want a shirt or a sticker, you could also purchase something through our Amazon click through at the top of the page. Does not cost you anything extra, just gives us a little bit of a kickback as what they refer to as an advertising fee, because if it was not for the show, you would not know that Amazon was a thing.
That's right.
The notable purchases this past week through the Amazon click-through was someone got Bellagio Italia brown leather disc storage binders, good for anything from DVDs to CDs to books themselves, and someone also renewed their Amazon Prime membership through our click-through, which is ingenious. Again, I'm always a fan of the double-dip scam, not a nod to the Kroger meat scam where you purchase a gift card through the Amazon click-through, you have them send the gift card to you, then you use that gift card to purchase something else. That's a double dip. That's win-win for us.
That's right. And if you buy a shirt, I know Joe will call you personally from his Words burner phone.
You know what? We already scoop enough heat from the Something to Wrestle podcast.
Just take it all.
But you know what? I'll do that. If you purchase a shirt in the calendar year 2018 from us, and in the description you include a phone number, I will call you.
Mm-hmm.
It'll probably be after 6 p.m. Eastern time. If you time it right, I might call you. And it's on a Wednesday, I might call you from the comic shop with Todd. So then you get the double dose of us.
Wow.
But I'm saying it here, and I'll mention it every time. I steal enough from Bruce, and other shows do it as well, but Bruce is kind of the one that started it. You buy a shirt from us in the calendar year 2018, I will call you as long as you put your phone number along with the payment information.
Wow, look at me making more work for you.
That's right. Hey, if nothing makes Todd more happy than more work for me.
That's right. Well, I do less work.
Right. So, Todd, did we have anything from Todd's Art Attack this week?
Yes, we did. Euronymous sent in, I'm not sure what you call them, but it's one of those where somebody takes these little colored circles and they, like, make a picture out of it, is what it looks like.
Pixel art.
Pixel art. I'm not really sure on the title. So I've had a few made for me in the past, but it's a picture of, it looks like Nosferatu from the classic black and white vampire movie.
Yes.
Pretty cool. So I'm not sure how they make them. I think they steam them together with heat, Joe.
I don't know how they do it, but our mutual friend Matt, who we know from the Marvel Puzzle Quest group, does them all the time. He's done kind of like the pixelated 8-bit versions of your Deadpools, your Wolverines, your all sorts of comic book characters like that. He does really good work with them. I think he did a Bullseye one as well, both as like the pixel, as like the 8-bit character, but also as like kind of the full face gimmick, like the Nosferatu one. Matt does real good work with that.
Right, right.
So this is the last week for the Pigskin Pick'ems.
Yes.
I think the winner gets a shirt. I don't know. We got to figure out something. Luckily, it looks like the winner's going to be local.
Yes. If they get a shirt, they'll get a phone call, too.
I'll call them while I'm in the shop.
Yep.
No, I know we're standing 20 feet from each other, but hang up the phone. Or, no, pick up the phone. It's me.
Yep.
So there's that. Oh, yes, last but not least, Todd and Joe have issues. The penultimate edition. Starman number 27. A Christmas Story. That's not what it's called. But it's called like a Christmas Night. Get it?
How's it the penultimate?
No, it's the ultimate. It's like the final. I don't know. Leave me alone. I don't know how words work, Todd. I've only been speaking to a microphone professionally for 12 years.
I'm pretty sure you know how words works. That's all I'm going to say.
Todd, if anyone doesn't know how words works, it's me.
Okay.
So this issue written by James Robinson. Now, I want to mention this with art not by Tony Moore. He did the cover, but the art is by Steve Yowell. Now, I'm not familiar with Yowell, but his art is very kind of DC 90s house style, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
Like DC late 90s house style. It's not Tony Robbins art, but it's kind of close to a lot of other artists from DC at that time.
Tony Robbins? Or do you mean Tony Harris?
Tony Harris. I'm thinking of the guy with the teeth. Tony Harris. You knew who I meant. Right.
No, I did, but I wasn't sure if there was a Tony Robbins.
No, I'm confused, Todd. So you've got two stories concurrently going on here. There's a Christmas dinner at the O'Dare residence, mm-hmm. and Jack Knight, along with the rest of the recurring characters, essentially a family, they're all and everything, and they all help Jack with his Starman-y adventures in Opal City. Jack is on his way, and of course he gets distracted, seeing an old man dressed as Santa who is sobbing on a park bench. He learns this gentleman's story and then assists him in getting back something very precious to him. And there's your story. There's your two stories going on. You know, the A story is the Starman stuff. The B story is everyone kind of killing time waiting for Jack to show up and them kind of getting to know each other, catch up with each other, and let you, the reader, kind of know what the relationship is with all of these family members. And everything's not great, as it is with most real-life families.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked this a lot, of course. Picked it. I did not have vivid memories of this from reading Starman back when I read it, but I was glad to reread it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
Yep. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's a Christmas story, so it's always a bonus for me. But I enjoyed the O'Dare stuff. I enjoyed, like, the people coming slowly to the party, and we're getting the bits of their life, and, you know, they're waiting on Jack, and Jack's trying to help this guy who's down on his luck. He's lost his locket. That's the only thing he has after his life from his family that he had lost in an accident. And Jack's going to help him get it back because Jack's a good, you know, a good guy. It's at Christmas. And I like some of the stuff that he does to help along the way. And he's giving the homeless money to help them out. And, but the most fun thing that I was interested in was the O'Dare stuff when, Hope, Faith, and Charity joke that he does.
Yes.
Which is fantastic because, Charity shows up and he's like, oh, we have faith and we have hope, O'Dare, and now we have all three. And I was like, I wonder if he sat on that joke for a while. Do you know what I mean? Like, he was like, that was right from the beginning. And then when the Shade shows up, who I just love the Shade in Starman because he's like, he's a villain everywhere else, but in Opal, he's almost the hero. And he shows up and he gives him the first edition, A Christmas Carol by Dickens, and it's signed. And they're like, this is like worth a lot of money. He's like, it's okay. Dickens gave me a couple. And it always reminds me that Robinson had Dickens and Shade as friends. And there is a story about, I believe it's called The Old Curiosity Shop, where there is a person who's with immortality or something like that. And there's like an evil dwarf that's in it. And they, when they were hinting at Shade's origin for years, that he was like, yeah, I had some weird things happen to me. And Dickens wrote a story based on it. And he just like weaved all that in. And if you remember, Shade had the evil dwarf. And it was the same name, I think, as in the story. So like reading that reminded me of how much like layering Robinson put into these stories. And now after reading that and then the mother episode with the David stories, I want to reread Starman from beginning to end.
I want to reread Starman from beginning to end. I want to reread Sandman from beginning to end. I want to reread Preacher from beginning to end. Todd, there's not enough time in the day for me to do all the things that I want to do.
If you weren't giving all these phone calls out when people buy shirts, you'd
exactly. Have to show. Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, I really like this a lot. And, again, thanks to everyone for joining us on this journey, trying something new as we try to do something new every year. With this, I guess, section of the show. As Todd mentioned at the top of the show, there is no TV or movie talk. I'm lazy and I didn't get a chance to watch any Punisher this week, but at least singly down on it this week. That much I can promise to you. Right. But what we are going to be replacing it with for the calendar year 2018 is a mailbag section, a letters page section, a something like that, right? Where we're going to talk about your feedback to the show, whether you send us an email at longboxheroes@gmail.com, whether you comment on the post for the show. The tweets are going to be a little bit tougher to track down episode by episode, but we'll do our best there. It'll just be easier, again, comment on the website, send us an email, or if you know us privately, any of your private conversations with us will be and can be used against you on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I know my friend James actually mentioned it's not about this, but he did say that he thoroughly enjoyed the most recent Gallifrey Birds, the last Gallifrey Birds, or is it? You'll have to tune into After Dark this week to see what happens, or just go look at that Twitter poll. when the voting first came out, he was actually live texting it to me as he was listening to the show.
Mm-hmm.
He said that Todd doing a full Hulk Hogan promo in Hulk's voice has me doubled over laughing out loud on the train to work.
Oh, man, I can only imagine what you look like on the train listening to me reproducing a Spectrox-fueled promo.
He enjoyed a lot of the dumb stuff that we said during the course of the show. He also said only garbage listeners like the Punisher and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh.
And then, of course, my friend Ron also contacted me with some of my specious logic about who created what. When we were talking about who created the Conan character, he says Arthur Conan Doyle. Conan, come on. I wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt and pretend you were trying to be funny, but you lose nerd points on that one. And then he also critiqued Todd for not getting my joke about saying that he got me, for the Christmas segment last week, comic books. You know, books by comedians, comic books. Mm-hmm. He was upset that Todd missed that great pun as well. But yeah, so let us know what you think of the show, any comments, any remarks, anything else like that, and we'll talk about it on the show.
Hey, you got any comic questions? I'd gladly answer.
Oh, that's right. If you question something that we said on the show or in the past or whatever it is, or just have anything for a recommendation, just say, hey, I'm new to comics. What do you guys recommend? And, you know, let us know. Mm-hmm. That's, as the kids say, our DMs are open, but don't direct message them because they'll get lost because I don't know who has passwords to what. Email longboxheroes@gmail.com. Comment on the post. Those are the two easiest ways for the episode. Those are the two easiest ways for us to track your feedback and actually respond to you in a timely
fashion.
So is there anything else, Todd?
No, I think that's another year down, Joe.
Another year in the book, and it's getting to be less and less on the other side of this candle, Todd.
Oh, boy.
One day it'll be none. And then what will you do?
Then you're going to have to find my replacement.
I think when you go, I go.
It's a pact, is what you're saying?
It is now.
Oh, boy.
All right, everyone. So for Todd, this is Joe closing on episode 367 of Longbox Heroes, and we will see you all here next week.
Remember, be a faucet, not a drain.
Boop! All right, here we are, the final week. We got 11 right last time. 11 out of 16. That's only the second time that we ever did that good. And then we're done with the football picks for the year. They don't have us do the playoffs.
Yeah.
They don't have us do the Super Bowl. Any of that.
None.
How was your Christmas, by the way?
Oh, good.
Did you get anything good for me?
No.
No, nothing good for me?
Nothing.
What was your favorite thing that you got for Christmas?
My hand-controlled drone.
Your hand-controlled drone. That's pretty cool. All right. So let's
do our... Glove-controlled.
Glove-controlled. That's right. It's like from the future. And he touches the blades all the time.
No, I don't. Just the bottom.
Oh, the bottom.
I'm
very
afraid that it's going to cut my head off.
Your head?
Yeah, it's
going to
go...
Those blades are too small to cut your head off. All right. Who's going to win? The Bears or the Vikings?
Bears.
You're not even
Vikings.
Looking. The Browns or the Steelers?
Steelers.
You know, this is like the first time you haven't picked the Browns in weeks. They haven't won all year, and this will be the week that they win. The Cowboys or the Eagles?
The Eagles.
The Packers or the Lions?
The Packers.
The Texans or the Colts?
The Kilts.
The Kilts? You know what a Scotsman wears under his kilt?
What?
His shoes.
His kilt? His shoes?
This
got bite taken out.
No, I think it's just lumpy. The Jets or the Patriots?
Patriots.
The Redskins or the Giants?
Giants.
The Panthers or the Falcons? Falcons. The Bills or the Dolphins?
The Dolphins.
The Bengals or the Ravens?
The Ravens.
The Chiefs or the Broncos?
Chiefs.
The Jaguars or the Titans?
Titans. Titans.
The Raiders or the Chargers?
Chargers.
The Niners or the Rams?
The Rams.
The Saints or the Buccaneers?
The Buccaneers.
And last but not least, the Cardinals or the Seahawks?
The Seahawks.
All right, and that does it for the year. Is there anything you want to say to anyone out there listening to the podcast?
No.
All right, everyone, thanks for listening. This is Ace's last time on the podcast forever.
Almost forever.
Unless forever. Good night.